Welcome to By George From Page to Stage with me, Mr. Matt Ogden, and this man right here, Mr. Richard Sykes. So today, Rich, I believe we're chatting about the end of Act One.
We are.
So how do we do this without giving spoilers away?
Oh, I think we can spoil this. This is fine.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. Because as we go through the process of the podcast, there will inevitably be spoilers. But hopefully, you know, this is
minor spoilers, though.
Minor spoilers. We're not going to give the ending away.
Thank God for that.
But no, the end of Act One is fairly pivotal.
Yeah,
and it runs as a sequence of musical numbers.
Yeah.
So we've discussed a song called "Next Time Around" before on the podcast, which is a nice ballad. Mm. But then suddenly things start to ramp up as things gradually go out of control. We have a Hen Night sequence with a song called "Aren't We Outrageous?"
Yeah,
which it is a fun number to discuss. And the reason we're discussing the end of Act One at the moment is that we've actually reached it in terms of the rehearsals. So you'll be able to have a look at the rehearsals for "Aren't We Outrageous?" It features three girls, effectively, who are leading the number, and they're singing the number. And everyone else is kind of responding.
Yeah.
But two people that really aren't part of this are Marge and Pauline.
Yeah.
However, by the end of the song, they are the pivotal figures in it. Marge and Pauline are set at odds in this number because Marge has tricked Pauline into coming to a hen do featuring her son as a stripper.
Yeah.
So Sam is going to be the stripper.
Yeah.
And he has no idea that Pauline's going to be there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so this whole song is a setup for that.
Does he know that there is a hen do?
Absolutely.
And that the hen do is people who he will have seen come in as customers for the fish and chip shop,
yes,
or around the local area.
He does, but he's also wearing sunglasses in order to sort of disguise his appearance slightly.
Is he 2 o'clock?
Sam is naive.
Yeah.
But there's also a setup earlier on where he asks his mum, "Mum, are you going out tonight?"
Right.
And Paul at that point isn't.
So at that moment then, that's a really, really good point, because that's very early on, isn't it? We've already captured that in the footage of rehearsal so far. So at that point, the way that Sam needs to play that, is it very kind of coy, and it's like, this is a little bit of foreshadowing to the audience? Yeah.
Are you going out to... No. Well, she wasn't.
Yeah.
And then she is press-ganged into going to this hen-do.
So Pauline's seeing that as just a kind of like, why is he asking me that?
Yeah.
And he's seeing it as just checking, because just in case you're in... Because I'm guessing, obviously, we've not described which town or city this is set in. And the idea is that it isn't determined. It's just somewhere in Yorkshire.
Yeah.
But as a result of that, it sounds like from the way that we've kind of got it all set up with the fish and chip shop and the pub next door, it sounds like it could be any village in any Yorkshire town or city. So therefore, it probably is quite a close-knit community.
Yeah, I'd have said so.
Yeah.
And the word would inevitably have got back to Pauline that Sam was stripping.
On social.
Absolutely. Having said that, he goes through with it, and that's the. It was due to be the very end, is the final reveal of Sam being shocked to see his mum at this strip do, then blackout, end of Act One.
Mm.
What we decided at one of the read through was that it didn't quite work like that. You didn't want to leave Act One on a downer.
Yeah.
You could still have suspense. But that's a real shock moment. Lights go out.
Yeah, yeah.
Now what? What the hell? And that's not how a lot of musicals end Act One.
No, they kind of end it on a big high, don't they?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you're looking at musicals like Hairspray, where there is still tension, but you go out into the end of Act One with a bit of euphoria.
Yeah.
And so what we needed was a euphoric number. And I came up with a song called "You." I Never Knew You Had It In You, where there is a decision made by Pauline in a song called "Pauline Decides," and then suddenly there's the coming together of the son and the mother in this blaze of, right, if we're going to do this, Let's do this. Mm. Let's own it.
Let's do it.
Yeah, well, we won't hark back to Victoria just yet. Having said that, strange you'd mention that, there are real shades of Victoria Wood within Aren't We Outrageous.
Yeah.
The way the rhyme scheme works, it sort of ramps up to a punchline in the same way that Victoria Wood's songs do.
Yeah, I've tried
to emulate that. Not always successfully. We took a few verses out, but we've landed on the three verses that were that sounded the best.
Mm.
Yeah, and were less rude. There were ruder verses. We won't go into that, but there were.
I feel like we need to do like some sort of reference to them.
I can't.
Really?
No, I really can't. Some were really obscene.
Did Maria's red pen get Maria's red pen marker? No,
absolutely. We cannot do that, but we can do this. So I think because I pitched really extreme, I got away with a fair few bits.
You toned it down a fraction.
Yeah, yeah.
That gets through.
Yeah, there's a bit where the maid of honour is lying next door, off her face on Prosecco, flat out on the floor. We raised her head up in case she was sick. Now she's resting mouth wide on an inflatable dick. And that's... So you can say, I've got away with it. That's in. So imagine... Imagine what was out.
Jeez, wow. Yeah, I did not think you were going to complete the end of that phrase.
Of course.
I thought you were going to inflatable and just show it.
No.
Oh, right.
Showing it's worse. What do you mean? No. I can't have any of that. Oh, no, certainly not.
Oh, family comedy.
So, I think it is the rudest song in terms of graphic, because there's a strip show going on as well. So it's really quite seedy, and I think that's absolutely intentional.
I've got a question for you.
Go on.
Have you been on a hen night?
I've seen enough,
right,
and I've performed it enough. To know what it's like.
That's because I was just thinking.
If you've done a ladies' night, then I'm sorry.
And I think that the important thing, right, is that the women in the audience and the women in that scene, some of them might not have been on hen do's, but they'll all have all seen pictures and they'll all have all heard stories.
Yeah.
And I reckon if you capture that moment right, that is where you'll have howling.
There should be laughs of recognition.
Yeah.
But there's one verse where one of the protagonists is persuaded to strip off and streak down a street in some, this doesn't, is never shown, but it's referenced. And and so we had a how obscene could this possibly get was dictated by what level of innuendo we did. And we came up with she was grabbed by the bouncers. Because if you think about the innuendo of bouncers, they could be an awful lot of things on a body.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, she's grabbed by the bouncers. And there was a thing of if she'd been taken by the police or being hauled off by the fuzz. But we can't use that. That's an innuendo too far. But bouncers we could get away with.
The fuzz being...
I'm saying nothing else. No, how dare you? How dare you suggest that? Yes,
I mean,
that's exactly what I was implying.
For those listening, not watching,
yeah.
I didn't do anything.
No, none of us did anything. But the point of it is that it's all done with innuendo and a real tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah.
Can't wait.
You mean like 98% of this musical?
Most of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. this does exemplify an awful lot of that. But yes, basically it's a hen do gone wrong. Then there's a strip show, which Marge has orchestrated. But what she wants is the photo of shock on Pauline's face when she sees her son stripping. And she can make that go viral. She's doing it for the viral moment.
So the shock factor actually still is in there.
Yeah.
In that you see this moment. But then, like you said, you didn't want to end it there.
Yeah.
You wanted the next little bit that is the end of the first act. And that bit there, what's the key moment in that scene?
The key moment in that scene is when Pauline decides. There is a moment in the music.
Yeah.
She sings a really, really nice song, which has references from previous songs.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly there's this click within the music when Pauline decides not to be down on Sam, not to tell him off, but to encourage him.
Hiya.
Hello, son. If we'd sat and I
not be heartbroken? Should I turn away or should I intervene? Is it time to go or be the go-between? Be the mummy trust or am I just Pauline? Choices weighed, decisions made. Mum's the word, mum's unafraid. The battle lines have just been drawn. And for my family, this means war.
And say, look, I don't know my child. I can't. Otherwise, I would have known about this. And so what I can do now is know my child. Get to know my child. And that's the pivotal moment. It's the bit that Nikki likes the most out of Pauline's character. She loves the fact that she takes control, takes agency,
yeah,
and does something about it,
yeah,
rather than just collapses, which she could. But this this really, it's a ramp up then to the end of Act One.
Yeah.
The end of Act One has, as I've said, a song called I Never Knew You Had It In You. And
yeah,
that is Nikki's favourite song of the musical. So she really likes the end of Act One as it's come through.
I believe we actually have a clip of her singing that with you.
Yes.
So to remind people, we could play that now as the end of Act One of this podcast.
Perfect. Woo! I never knew you had it in you, and I never knew what you could be. But you caught me by surprise and you opened my eyes to a world for you and me. There's more than I saw in you just before, and I couldn't ever be more proud.
That's my favourite one.
Oh, do you? Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad you like that.
You can tell because you can see it on your face. Yeah. Oh, bouncing and loving it.
I just love it.
So we've just listened to I Never Knew You Had It In You, which is end of Act One. And we saw yourself and Nikki singing that. But of course, George isn't singing that.
No.
No.
No. Pauline is singing that with Sam.
Yeah.
And it's a very, very sweet getting to know you number. It's also complicated.
Yeah.
There's the key line is dum ba dum bum 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 ba dum bum bum ba dum. It's like a Gloria Estefan song from the 80s. It's really bizarre to have it in there. But I do like the rush of euphoria it's going to give not only them but the band that has to play it. I mean, there's some really bizarre percussion in that as well, with shakers going. And
yeah.
So I'm looking forward to that. But the other facet of that song is that it's got three backing singers, which we meet for the first time in that number.
Okay.
They are ostensibly down in the script as cleaners who come on and clean up after the hen night, but they then join in with the number. So it's completely unrealistic. And if you think of them like the three singers in Little Shop of Horrors that
right.
come in and sort of like a Greek chorus comes in and
down
segues.
On Skid Row and they're just
that's it.
Sweeping up a never knew I had it in you.
That's kind of it. So it's that. And we cast those a couple of weeks ago. We wanted to see who was consistently good in the rehearsals and could hold harmonies.
Yeah.
Because these are, it's a tough ask, is this
three-part harmony?
It's a three-part harmony. Yeah. They've got to hold the line on their own. So we've got our three backing singers in now, and we're very happy with that. And one of them is male. So Johnny's going to do it, Becky's going to do it, and Sydney's going to do it. And that's how they're going to line up.
Awesome.
Sydney on top, Becky in the middle, and Johnny at the bottom.
Lovely.
So great. They're going to add an awful lot of fire to this.
One of the first times Johnny actually gets to sing a bit down then.
No, he's still...
Because
he's singing what yeah. is a... really a female tenor line, so he's way up there.
So completely the opposite then.
He'll be fine. No,
but he's got a lot of experience. As we say, he sang in choral groups for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And I know that when I've done concerts with him and I'm sat there having to learn a harmony line, I'm tuning into him going, what's Johnny singing?
Yeah.
Right, that's what I have to sing. Okay, good. Yes. But if I was there by myself, I'd be like...
Well, what tends to happen if you're not confident with harmony singing and haven't been brought up with it like Johnny has with Corsa. Mm. It's that it, you tend to log on to the harmony that someone else is singing. And with three part, singing it exclusively on their own, it's going to be tough.
Yeah.
But for this one, Johnny has the tune.
Oh,
and the other two are piled on the top. So
he's got "Never knew you had it in you."
I never knew what you could be. Yeah, yeah. So that's
I tell you what, you know, we talked before about what song or songs we think people are going to come out singing.
Yeah.
Because you've positioned that at the end
of Act One,
that's like your. It's like Do You Hear the People Sing?
Yeah.
It's that moment where everyone's going to be going out. They're going to be going to get their fish and chips or hopefully going to the bar to get a drink, whether that's alcoholic or not. That's their decision.
That's their bag. Yeah.
I meant just going to the bar to get a drink so that the LBT makes some money. But the I think they're going to be going out. And because it's so catchy, that'll be the song, I think, that they'll be like, ooh, yeah, and they'll have a little boogie when they're in the queue. And if they don't, then something's gone wrong.
Because they should have
been enjoying themselves.
Of course.
Especially if they haven't laughed by that point, like with the hen do.
Oh, so
that
they
should be the moment that proper spikes them up and goes, turns those giggles into gaggles.
Well said. I've no idea what you meant, but yes, that's fine.
Well, from to full-blown laughter. Like,
okay, yeah, gotcha. Yeah.
Like our volume laughter, but like... That should be where they reach.
Hopefully. It'd be nice to get a sense of, like I said, euphoria before the end of Act One. That'd be lovely. So we'll see if that happens.
It's
a nice song. It is catchy and it's got a lot of repetition intentionally to lock it inside people's heads. It comes up again in Act Two as well, so you get a bit more repetition.
Yeah.
And
well, if that's the case, then if it's the end of Act One and there's also a bit of it repeated in Act Two, that for me is currently the standout favourite to really stick in their heads.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Two Horse Race will be up there as well, though, to be fair.
No, they'll have forgotten it by then.
Do you reckon?
Well, Two Horse Race doesn't repeat.
No, but I reckon they'll remember it for the comedy.
Possibly.
Because of it being that pivotal moment where Marge has just flirted with George. I think that those two songs, for me, currently are the standouts that are going to have everybody going,
Now, pump it out.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, pump it out's funny.
That'll be the ones for the dads.
Really?
Yeah, because it'll be the moment where they go, I'll pay attention to this.
They'll perk up.
They'll be on the haunches.
All right, fair dues. I genuinely don't know, and that's so exciting. I don't know, and it's one of the reasons I really didn't want to be in the show, is because I want to be with an audience that I mean, you're going to get this feeling, I'm not, Maria's going to probably get it as well, as to know exactly how the audience are reacting to certain things.
Oh yeah, because Maria's only signing for one performance.
Maria has to watch the first show on the Wednesday, so that she can sign on the Thursday.
So hopefully I'll be sat with Maria on that Wednesday, passing her a box of tissues. I would say a pack, but I think she'll go through a box.
She'll go through a few.
Yeah, with laughing and crying.
I'd imagine it in equal measure.
I just
hope it's an enjoyable night for everyone.
I find it kind of, it's almost like a build-up of 9 weeks to get to that stage. Yeah. So much we can talk about, but I'm loving seeing it in rehearsal, but I'm going into rehearsals watching specifically to film stuff.
Yeah.
So we kind of found a really good system, haven't we? Where you'll find that a lot of rehearsal processes, especially for musicals nowadays, what will happen is because you've got rehearsals happening in evenings generally and weekends, you'll obviously have like different people's availabilities throughout that process. And like you said, there's that break in August that's factoring in the summer holidays. It's allowing people to have a bit of a break, go and do whatever they need to do, freshen up, come back. One of the things that people do is they film rehearsals so that the choreography can be down. Mm-hmm. You can kind of listen back to the notes and you can also see what other people are doing so that you can kind of get more of an idea of what you want to do, put your spin on it. The beauty of doing a podcast for this is that we're filming the content for the podcast, which people can, you know, obviously watch who aren't in the show and they can learn more about what happens behind the scenes. Mm. But for the people in the show, it's also an opportunity to get that footage and see it in a format that makes them feel a little bit less like it's, I have to go home and watch this and learn it. and see it more in a way of kind of, oh yeah, that's why that's happening.
Yeah.
And hearing it straight from your mouth, from the writer's mouth is explaining in this scene, this is the kind of thing that I was getting at when I was writing it. And then they're bringing it all to life.
That's right. Especially for, I mean, what we don't have yet on this podcast is Neil's input as director. I mean, we'll be interviewing him at some point.
Yeah.
But no, Neil is working his way through the script as he's going through the rehearsals. So he's taking input from people as he goes as well.
Yeah.
So it's a fascinating process for him. I don't know how he does what he does. His approach so far has been meticulous in and so speedy in that he's choreographing, he's directing, he's basically holding this show together at the moment. And he's also got a very distinct style. His choreography is deliberately simplistic, and it's in favor of the lyrics and the music. He wants to get that across. Neil's a brilliant, he would never admit this, but he is a brilliant storyteller. He just takes an idea and he says, right, how do I best get this across? And shunts it straight at the audience.
Yeah.
And it's perfect for this musical. Couldn't think of anyone better to direct this.
I think you're right as well. We've talked about this off the podcast, but the fact that you've got songs like Pump It Out, where the ability level of the performers in terms of their dancing ability, it doesn't have to be like really well-trained musical theatre dancing.
No.
And if it was, it would look out of place with the story, with what's happening in that scene.
Yeah.
And I think with Two Horse Race as well, the way that that's working is complementing that kind of Grand National at the races kind of vibe where the choreography is not distracting from what George and Harry are doing.
No, it's serving the story.
Yeah, it's complementing it.
Yeah.
And it's getting into the audience's head. I mean, if you've listened or watched the episode with Bianca, where we looked at the, we actually looked at the music for that, and the rhythm that we were getting from the violin. Yeah. The whole point of Neil's choreography in that is to try and get the audience kind of bobbing along to the music. Yeah. They're bouncing up and down, which is what you'd see the jockeys doing on the horses.
Yeah.
And I think that the end of Act One, I'm really curious to see how that striptease kind of number works and how I Never Knew You Had It In You works as well. And I think after we've done those scenes, having a chat with Neil and saying, so that was Act One so far. What can we look forward to in Act Two? Because I'm sure he's got it all mapped out already.
Yes, he has. It's all detailed. And
So like the revisions of the scripts that you keep doing, he's probably just ignoring that. He's got his own revisions all over his original copy of the script.
Yeah. I'm very curious to see at how this unfolds, because this isn't... Whenever I see a musical, I always look at the style and how stylized it is. And Neil has put his own style on this musical now, whereby it is more of a play with music and more character in it. Yeah. If you look at the chorus, every single chorus member has a character.
Yeah, yeah.
When was the last time you saw that within a standard, a standard musical that we would do as a company? Usually the chorus can come across as quite wallpaper. You know, they're doing this and they're moving in a stylized way.
Yeah.
But with this, each person has a style and each person has a character. And Neil's very, very open about saying, no, you have to think about how you would do this. And so the people we have in the company are also very close in terms of age, in terms of an appearance, as to who we'd expect to find populating the local city and the local town and the local village.
Yeah.
So these are us. This is us we're seeing on stage now. Which
it's authenticity, isn't it?
It really is.
You're representing real life. I think when you just mentioned about the chorus and the idea of kind of wallpaper, I think a classic example of that for me is something like Kinky Boots.
Yeah.
Where you've got your standout characters who are kind of, you know, they've got individual traits that make them kind of appear to pop out from the background. But then in that factory, everyone's dressed pretty much the same.
Yeah.
It's all very kind of...
It's cogs in a machine.
Yeah, cogs in a machine, which is a perfect way of describing that. With this, it's Bob from round the corner, or Derek who lives over the road.
That's right.
And it's very much kind of those characters coming in and out of the pub. They shouldn't necessarily not stand out.
No.
But they also, they should fit in with the aesthetic.
Yeah, you should know who you're looking at.
Yeah.
Whereas if you look at a musical, a more traditional musical, something like 42nd Street, where you look at the chorus in that, they are deliberately, there can't be anything to them because you want to see a leg go that way. Yeah. You want to see a shoe go that way and an arm go that way. And if anyone was to stand out.
Ridiculously.
Exactly.
Same. It's almost I guess, what's the word? Strictly routine.
Very much so. If you think of routine from someone like Busby Berkeley, who used to do these incredible kaleidoscopic routines, if anyone stood out, then it would be anathema to
military
the whole thing.
Precision is
absolutely.
What's needed,
Whereas this is
exactly the opposite.
Exactly opposite. Yeah. And it's precisely how it should appear on the stage.
Imprecisely how it should
Imprecisely.
Appear. Yeah. So we've wrapped up Act One.
Yes.
We know what's going to happen at the end of Act One.
Yeah.
We're not allowed to talk about what happens at the end of Act Two. No. So in a few weeks' time, when we come to do an end of Act Two, what's our plan? What are we actually going to do there?
We are not going to spoil this show for people.
Good.
So we will stop talking about the plot when it comes to probably the middle of Act Two.
Yeah.
We'll tell you a little bit about the numbers, but from that after that, then we're relying on you to just come and watch and buy your tickets. And you can do that at www.
Smoothest segue so far.
Thank you very much. TheLBT.org. That's www.TheLBT.org.
And you can also follow us on Instagram, which we'll put the link to right here. On the Instagram, there's a link to our link tree. Lots of words involving link there.
Yeah.
You will be able to click on that link to see the show at the top. You'll also be able to head over to the YouTube channel where you can subscribe and watch this this very podcast.
Yeah.
You can also follow us on Instagram. You can also look at richsykes.com and you can find out more about this man right here and his previous production, Curtains, now known as Good Grief.
It is.
Which was
Woodhouse's
first world premiere in Huddersfield by George's the Second. And yeah, if you haven't watched or listened to any of the older episodes and you're thinking, okay, I've learned about the end of Act One, but I don't know what gets us to that point, then go back and listen to or watch the older episodes. And we will see you next week with another exciting From Page to Stage of By George, won't we, Rich?
We will. Awesome. See you then.
Thank you very much, guys. See you soon.